This is John Davison, and you're listening to Yes Music Podcast.
Welcome to episode 32 of the Yes Music Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Mulrine. Please remember how you can get involved on the site, where you can subscribe via RSS, via iTunes, or by email to the blog post and episode updates. You can read and then comment on show notes or blog posts. You can follow the show on Twitter at Yes Music Podcast, or send an email to show@yesmusicpodcast.com. You can upload a file via the link on the right-hand side, or leave a voicemail message and appear on the show yourself, by calling 0844 579 6949 using the mailbox number 39417. You can also record a voice message straight onto the website using the record a message button on the extreme right hand side. If you have a smartphone, you can download the free Stitcher.com app and listen that way. This week, Michael Persch, I hope I've pronounced that correctly, Michael, from Australia left a message.
Hi Kevin, how you doing? It's Michael Persch from Adelaide in Australia. I just thought I'd say g'day. We've been emailing a little bit lately since I discovered your podcast after the Yes concert in Melbourne in Australia that I went to, and I've been enjoying catching up on all the podcasts I've missed. I haven't listened to the one you did with Ben regarding the Sydney show in Australia, so I'm very much looking forward to having a listen to that. And it's really interesting to hear you and some folks from the United States speak about your experiences and your love of Yes. And we are fortunate in Australia that we've had the band visit us this year, but it would be nice if we had them visit us as often as you folks get to. But fingers crossed that won't be the last time we see Yes in any shape or form. But I just wanted to say g'day and let you know how much I'm enjoying your podcast. And keep up the good work, mate. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for that lovely feedback, Michael. It's great to know that even professionals like you can overlook the inadequacies of this little podcast. I also need to send out a special thank you to Mishiru Kuruma this week. Those of you who follow the show on Twitter may know that Mishiru sent me a parcel packed with Yes Tour merchandise. I've included a photo in the show notes for this episode. I was delighted and overwhelmed to receive this, and I'll be sending Mishiru something in return, which I also intend to keep as a surprise for her. So this week, with all the current news and rumours about collaborations between former and present members of Yes, I thought it might be interesting to ask listeners to imagine some fantasy live situations. I knew I could rely on the passionate and creative people out there to write this episode of the podcast for me. And of course, I was absolutely right. I've been amazed by the responses, which describe some of the most breathtaking events never to have existed in the history of Yes, or the history of popular music, if it comes to that. So without further ado, let's see what was sent in. Paul Wilson's three suggestions span the years, as well as presenting an uber prog and rock gallery of superstars. He begins. Number 1. This is a Yes Music group made from past members and relatives for an event to keep music from drama to fly from here alive. Vocals, Trevor Horn. Guitar, Trevor Rabin. Keyboards, Oliver Wakeman, son of Rick. Bass, Chris Squire. Oops, but really, who is the alternative here? Jeff Berlin. Tony Levin, great player with Crimson and Gabriel, but not Yes sound. Drums, Dylan Howe, son of Steve, currently with Wilco Johnson, and previously with the Blockheads. That's a great start, Paul. Is this selection any less likely than the recent Wakeman, Anderson, Rabin and Bruford rumour? A good point also about bass players. Squire is unique. So, Paul continues. Number 2. Here is a possible Yes group, built largely from 80s pop musicians, but who certainly have the technical skills to manage the songs. It would be fascinating to hear this group, maybe at an 80s pop revival gig like Rewind. Vocals, Nick Kershaw. Guitar, Francis Dunnery of It Bites. Keyboards, Billy Curry, or Richard Barbieri, or Thomas Tolby, or Howard Jones. Bass guitar, Nick Beggs of Kajagoogoo. Kadja, Ellis Beggs Howard, and recently both Steve Haggett and Steve Wilson from Porcupine Tree. Drums, Simon Phillips, who has played with everyone. I first saw him with Toya. He has played with The Who, John Anderson and Trevor Rabin, and more recently Toto. I didn't know whether to laugh out loud or cry when I saw this idea, but if you think about it more carefully, this could actually work. I'm definitely a huge Francis Dunnery supporter, and Paul wasn't the only contributor to suggest Stephen Wilson, as we shall see. Finally, Paul takes us back to the 70s, albeit with a somewhat different selection of musicians than we are used to. He suggests, number 3, how about a prog supergroup to play the classic Yes songs from the 70s? Vocals, Geddy Lee from Rush. Guitar, Robin Troer, Procol Harum. Keyboards, Vangelis, Aphrodite's Child, John Anderson. Bass, John Camp, Renaissance. Drums, Ian Mosley, Hackett and Marillion. Or how about all three of those bands, plus current Yes, in a weekend-long Yes Fest? Well, Paul, I'd be first in the queue for tickets. Just imagine the scene. And what would it be like backstage? Next get in touch was Paul Tomei. He writes, well, after much thought, here is my idea of a Yes fantasy lineup. I would start with the first two albums. This would, of course, include Peter Banks, and this would also be held in the round. They would open with Sweet Dreams and Then. Of course, this would include Tony Kaye as well, maybe even throw in Astral Traveller. Then Steve Howe would enter and play two tracks off his first album with Yes, Yours Is No Disgrace, and Adventure. Then Tony Kaye would leave, and of course the great Rick Wakeman would take over, and this is when Alan would take over for Bill. At this point I think there's a lot that could be played, but to make it fair they would have to do Close to the Edge and Going for the One. I know I skipped Gates, however Pat comes in at the end to play Sound Chaser. It was always my favourite live. Steve and Chris just explode on stage. Then Trevor Horn and Jeff would come in to do Run Through the Light, and Does It Really Happen? And then there'd be an intermission. Trevor Rabin and Tony Kaye appear to play Leave It, and It Can Happen. Then it's time for Big Generator, then Talk. Trevor and Tony leave, and in comes Rick, for a little mind drive. Then Rick leaves and Billy and Igor come on, for Open Your Eyes and Man on the Moon. Next I would definitely have Rick back, for Magnification. I'm torn about Fly From Here, I really think it is Benoit's duty to handle Fly From Here, however I think Trevor Horn could handle those as well. Then there would be a second intermission. Now we have all members on stage in the round to play the hits. You know, from All Good People to Long Distance Run Around, to Roundabout to Owner of a Lonely Heart. Then they finish with Revealing Science of God and Ritual. I know that I've left out many great pieces of work, but remember this is just a fantasy. I would pay $300 for a show like that easily. Then he goes on to say, Kevin, thank you for the opportunity to dream. Always just so much fun to share great ideas with people so passionate about the greatest rock, pop, prog band ever. Well, thank you, Paul, for putting in such an extraordinary amount of thought. I'm sure there's not a single Yes fan in the world who would turn down the opportunity to experience your fantasy for real. $300 sounds like the greatest bargain in the history of rock music to me. Subsequently, Paul also left a voicemail via the website, and here it is.
Hey, Kevin, it's Paul from the great state of Michigan. Hey, I just wanted to let you know this Yes fantasy thing. You know I wrote down a scenario, but as I think about it more and more, oh my goodness, there's just so many different variations. Much like the Yes music library, when I started to think about, you know, the early recordings, and then 3 to 4 years later, they're doing Tales, which, I don't know about you, but there was never any kind of music like that before. Prog rock, pop rock, none of that. And then to go from that to Kate's of Delirium, Going for the One, I mean, really think about that. It's just mind-boggling. And to bring the people in and out is just amazing. When I saw them in 78 on the Tornado tour, they were in the round, and that was the first time I had ever seen them in the round. And they were absolutely incredible. I know that there was a lot of strife in the band at that time, but I'm telling you, that show was incredible. Just to the T. It was just amazing. And that's why I think if management could ever get together And I know, you know, musicians, they, you know, everybody's strong willed, but to pull something off like that would be incredible. And like I said, worth every penny. Anyways, I just had to get that in because I didn't really write that. So anyways, love this show. This is awesome because you get to get involved with it, and I absolutely love it. Take care, Kevin. Keep up the good work. Bye.
Once again, thanks for that, Paul, and it's great to add your actual voice to your contribution, and thanks so much for your very kind words about the show. Of course, it would be so much poorer without the interaction you and many others are able to add. That's why I do it. At Electric Freedom on Twitter, of www.electricfreedom.org, also saw the benefits of having several different Yes musicians fulfilling different roles in his fantasy alongside a complete orchestra of hired help. He writes, "I've been thinking this one over, and there are so many possibilities, but I think I know what I'd like. First, the lineup would have to be Steve Howe, Chris Squire, Bill Bruford as a core group, but with a few other people added in. Firstly, I'd have John Anderson and John Davison on vocals, as imagine what they could sing without the need for any overdubs. I'd have Wakeman on keys, but to me it could be Rick or Oliver. It doesn't matter so much, as both are brilliant and can swap over easily. I think I'd have an orchestra for good measure. I loved the Symphonic Live tour. For the song choices, I'd have them play all of their long stuff. Most importantly, seeing as we've got the orchestra, I'd have them play the whole of Tales from Topographic Oceans. The Ritual was great on the Symphonic Live tour, but I've always wondered what the rest of the album would sound like with an orchestra. It'd also be great to hear what Bruford could have brought to the later stuff, though I'd have him sit as far away from a PowerPoint as possible, so there's absolutely no possibility of him using digital drums. There are so many other songs I'd like to see them do live, but I'd be happy with TFTO and orchestra in its entirety." Thanks so much for that view. I also really enjoyed the orchestral arrangements on the Symphonic Live tour, although I definitely missed the dedicated keyboard role, so I think you have the perfect solution. As this is fantasy, there's no need to consider the cost of putting such an event on, of course, so let's have the London Symphony Orchestra, or a group of equal stature and size. The next contributor was our faithful friend MJ Murphy, of www.twilightguitar.wordpress.com, who paints a wonderful picture of a set of Yes events for us in his fantasy. He says, "I think my ultimate wish for a live Yes event would be to see a series of concerts in which entire albums were performed by the very same artists that recorded the album. For example, one night you could have Fragile performed live by the exact lineup from the studio album, on the next night you could have the entire 90125 performed with the artists from its lineup, even better if they were scheduled in chronological order. And let's see, yes, the concerts would be performed outdoors, on perfect moonlit nights, with free food and wine for all. This, of course, would be a logistical impossibility for the band, the marketers, and the weather gods. But you did ask for fantasies, right? I'm getting good at those." "As you say, Mike, this might not happen, but I'd be there with you if it ever did. Thanks for the mental picture of a series of perfect evenings." At JJ Delmas expands on the idea even further. He wrote, "The idea of a series of concerts playing entire albums really appeals to me. Imagine 10 days of concerts in which they would be playing in chronological order, for instance, Monday, Yes and Time and a Word and the Yes album, Tuesday, Fragile and Close to the Edge and related material, for example, America, Wednesday, Tales from Topographic Oceans, Thursday, Relayer plus a mix of solo material from the middle 70s, Friday, Going for the One and Tormato, Saturday, Drama and Fly From Here, Sunday, 90125, Big Generator and Talk, Monday, ABWH, Union and Key Studio, Tuesday, Open Your Eyes and The Ladder and Magnification, and yet another day for a last best of set list. All this with the original members involved, and since all of them would be around, possible contributions from people of other lineups for the encores. Remember, we have one incredible luck. All of them are still alive, all shot in HD and recorded in 5.1 for posterity. I do not agree that much in the outdoors setting, it's too risky for such an event, and it does not guarantee the best possible recording conditions. We are talking about creating alternative new recordings of full classic albums, so they'd better sound as good as possible. Lots of work for Trevor Horn, not only on the drama night. A very special venue should be booked to stage all this, something legendary, like a Royal Albert Hall, for instance. Just my 5 cents. And a great 5 cents, Jose. Your suggestion of the Royal Albert Hall would indeed make the event very special, but as it's on such an epic scale, perhaps a specially constructed venue would be more appropriate. The Millennium Dome in London was constructed for a rather disappointing event, so your fantasy surely would deserve a building of similar, if not greater, iconic stature. It could be used afterwards to host concerts by lesser bands, by which, of course, I mean any other bands. One of the best Twitter handles I've come across belongs to @wiseoldbadger. Here's his contribution. My Yes Live choices all take me back to my teenage years when I was really discovering prog rock, and Yes in particular for the first time. Here are my thoughts by way of a set list and band lineups. First of all, I remember the late great Tommy Vance broadcasting the Yes 1978 Wembley Arena show, which featured the most astounding version of Starship Trooper I've ever heard. So I'd like John Anderson, Chris Squire, Steve Howe, Rick Wakeman and Alan White to open the show with that, to get the whole place on its feet. After that, I'd like Trevor Horn and Jeff Downes to head onto the stage. Wakeman can take a well-deserved break after his incredible playing on Starship Trooper. For Machine Messiah, White Car, Does It Really Happen, and Tempus Fugit from Drama, the first Yes album I bought. While the next changeover happens, it would be great if Steve Howe could play Mood for a Day and then clap. Next, I'd like the 90125 lineup to play Cinema, Owner of a Lonely Heart, Changes, and City of Love from the second Yes album I bought. Finally, everyone can come back onto the stage, so we have an XL version of the Yes Choir for I've Seen All Good People, and then the closer, Heart of the Sunrise. Not only would that represent for me the ultimate Yes night, but I think it would also be one of the greatest nights in music, period. Of course, I may be a little biased, but I think I'm amongst friends here. You are indeed amongst friends, Ian. We could all be there beside you at this event. I also heard the 1978 Wembley show on the radio, which blew me away, even though I heard it as a repeat after I had discovered Yes in the early 80s. Ben Craven of www.bencraven.com popped into the blog post to add the following to answer the question, what is your Yes fantasy live? He said, that's an easy one for me. Rick Wakeman on the Talk tour. Only because, as I understand, Rick came very close to being part of the Talk album, so it actually could have happened. It might have even convinced Trevor Rabin not to become incredibly rich and happy scoring films instead. That's a fascinating insight, Ben. I love what Tony Kaye does, and I was fascinated to see Trevor Rabin's keyboard work on the Talk tour via YouTube recently, but certainly I'd support having Rick there. Why not Rick and Kaye? Also, I think you missed a great opportunity to suggest yourself as a guest with Yes. Or why stop there? Why not become a permanent band member? In your fantasy, at least. Someone who was present at key moments of real Yes live history was Ken Fuller. He writes, I was lucky enough to see the debut of Close to the Edge. I saw 90125, ABWH and the Union Tour at Wembley. I saw the Talk Tour and then later on the Masterworks Tour, so I finally got to hear Gates live. Looking back, I think my Yes fantasies have been pretty much fulfilled, but there is one thing. If I had the money, I would hire Alan, Steve, John, Anderson, Rick and Chris to play just for me and my mates in my backyard. That's my kind of party, Ken. Perhaps that would indeed be the only event which could top what you've already experienced. @CafeDesigners decided to take a different tack. He said, going for a half-crazy idea may be more of a supergroup. I was inspired after listening to a tribute to Pink Floyd made by members of bands like Yes, King Crimson, ELP, Asia, etc. So, vocals, John Anderson, keyboards, Vangelis, bass, Chris Squire, guitar, Steve Howe or Stephen Wilson, and drums, Nick Mason. It's interesting to see Chris Squire in there, and for me it points out again that there are other fabulous bassists out there, but Chris is unique in style, in sound, and in approach. If you don't agree, then please let me know. @EchidnaZarf, if that's how you pronounce it, went for a prog hybrid in his suggestion. I say bring back Bruford and Tony Levin, as in the Anderson, Wakeman, Bruford and Howe tour, except now also include Chris Squire. Throw in guest appearances of Robert Fripp and Adrian Ballou for a Crimson Yes jam session. And while we're at it, go for a total prog-o-palooza by bringing in Greg Lake, former Crimson member before ELP, Laurie Anderson, hired Adrian Ballou, Brian Eno and Dave Byrne. They've all worked one way or another together, so it's not so far-fetched. That's the kind of blend I wouldn't mind seeing at all. If you heard Bill Bruford talking in his usual eloquent style on the BBC 4 prog documentary, you can see how he could indeed provide a substantial and credible musical bridge between the two prog monsters. Finally, we turn to Scott Bell's Yes Live Fantasy. Could you imagine what Yes would have sounded like in the mid-70s with Vangelis? The Vangelis album Heaven and Hell is truly stunning. To hear Yes collaborate on that material would have been a Yes fan's dream come true. As a present-day Yes fantasy, I would love to see John Anderson and Trevor Rabin back on stage with Yes. A world tour with each and every member of Yes, past and present, each representing their era of the band, is a long shot, but we all secretly want that. So that makes three Yes fans, including Vangelis, in a fantasy lineup. A popular choice, so thanks, Scott. So, I'm exhausted just thinking about all those fantasy live events and lineups. Thanks so much, everyone, for submitting those fantastic ideas. It's clear you all put a lot of thought into them, which has made this episode of the podcast a real pleasure to record. Perhaps we can submit these suggestions to the band, past and present. So between us, do we have the email addresses of every Yes musician, past and present? Surely we do. Of course, I need to say before closing that I'm sure we all, as Yes fans, want to see the band continue far into the future in whatever format makes that possible. I sincerely hope that Yes, live and recorded, lives forever. I can't think of any other music which deserves to do so more than the body of work we call Yes. So that's about it for this week. Thanks so much for listening. I'm not sure exactly what I'll be doing next week. It will hopefully be a pleasant surprise for you all. In the meantime, don't forget how you can get involved with the podcast by leaving comments on www.yesmusicpodcast.com, by sending a tweet or direct message to @yesmusicpodcast on Twitter, by sending an email to show@yesmusicpodcast.com, by uploading an audio file or recording a voice message via the buttons on the site, or by leaving a voicemail on 0844 579 6949 using the mailbox number 39417. So until next time, just remember, whatever your progressive rock question, the answer is yes.